Tonight's shiur, Parshas Chukas. Zos Chukas haTorah, Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor, Daber Bnei Yisrael Michu Elecha Fara Aduma Tmima. It's a midrash. It's an Ejek's explanation. Midrash says, as Zeu Shamar Kasuv, as it says in Eov, Mi Ten Taor Mitame, Lo Echad. Simple pshat in the pasuk. Who can possibly bring something tower from something tame? Lo echad, nobody could. However, the midrash continues. Kigon Avram miterach. We find Avram coming from Terach, Yisrael coming from the Umos, Olam Haba coming from Olam Hazeh. The midrash concludes. Mi asakein, who did this? Mi tzivakein, who commanded this? Lo yechidu shel olam. Is it not the one and only Hashem? What's pshat in the midrash? Says the Chidush Yerim that one might think that the best thing in the world would be if there would be no evil, no ra, no yetzer hara. That would be wonderful bliss. However, that's not the case. The yetzer hara is very important because it's through the yetzer hara that's how a person grows. They give the mashal to somebody who works out with weights, weightlifting. Right? So if you lift weights, any of you who've known, who've any lifted weights before, know that something called reps, repetitions. Right? You pick up the dumbbells and you do repetitions. One, two, three. So the first few times you're picking it up, it's very easy. Up and down, up and down, up and down. And after you do it a few times, it starts getting harder and harder and harder. And the experts say that what builds your muscles, that last time that you're ripping, that's really, you can hardly lift, that's when you're building your muscle. The first time you're just going up and down, it doesn't do too much. So when you're forcing the weights up, that the pain, that's when you gain. So too, when our avodas Hashem, it's dafka through the yetzer hara, because of the nisyonos, and we have to fight the bad. That's when we build. That's how we grow. That's how we get closer to Hashem. Mele, that's what the midrash means. Mi tein tahor mitame, meaning the tahor dafka comes from the tame. We need the tame. It's dafka because of the tumah, the yetzer hara. That's how we grow. That's how we get closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. As the midrash continues, Abraham from Terach. Avram came from Terach. Terach was of the Avodah Zarah, and Avram Avinu grew up in this house, and he had to go against all that he grew up with, what his father preached, and it was very difficult. But that's how he became an Avram Avinu, because he had to fight. And as the Midrash says, Olam Haba mi Olam Hazeh. So too, how do we gain Olam Haba? It's through Olam Hazeh, through all the tests that we have in this world. Nisyonos, that's how we grow, that's how we gain the Olam Haba. So it's Olam Haba mi Olam Hazeh. And who did this, who made this, we said that is of course the Kodesh Baruch Hu's doing. Rav Reuven Karelenstein, Shlita, should be well, says, we have the end of the Sedra, famous Chazal on the Pasuk, Al Ken Yomru Al Moshli Bo Cheshbon. And they darshan out, what does it mean, Bo Cheshbon? Cheshbon, of course, is a city, but they darshan out, Bo Nachshav Cheshbono Shel Olam. Come and let's make a Cheshbon of the world. What's the Cheshbon of the world? Schar Mitzvah Keneged Hefseda. The Schar of a Mitzvah against the Hefsed. So the simple pshat is, the Schar Mitzvah, think, okay, how much Schar you're going to get, even though Hefseda, it might cost you money, might be whatever, but think of the Schar you're going to get. But he says, you can learn it where we're saying, that dafka, where does the schar mitzvah come from? From the hefseda. Dafka, through the hefsed, through the difficulty of doing the mitzvah, that's where the schar comes from. Lefum tzara agra, as I'll say. It says in the Rashi, beginning of the first Rashi on the Sedra, Zoschu Kasator, says Rashi, Lefisha, Satan ve'uma sa'olam, monin es Yisrael, Lomar ma mitzvah zo, sumatam yeshba. The Satan, the Goyim, they're taunting Israel, and they say, what kind of a mitzvah is this? Matan, there's no tam to it, there's no reason, it makes no sense. Lefikach, Rashi concludes, kasa b'chuka. Therefore it's called chukasat, or the chachok, which is a gzera, something we don't understand. Gzera him lefanai, ein lecha reshus lahar achara. You can't question it, it's just a chok. So, they ask, that's mashra from this, clearly from this Rashi, that in fact, the mitzvah paraduma, no time to it. To us at least, we can't understand it, so it's a chok. No logic. However, I say it's a pella, because if you go ahead, after Rashi goes through the whole explanation of Paraduma, he repeats it again later on Pasuk Kaf Beis, and he says, goes through the whole thing again. This time, he says, Midrash Agada had takti miyasodo sherabi Moshe hadarshin vizeu, and he goes through the whole thing again. Whole repetition, he goes the whole thing. And this time, in the name of, he heard it from Moshe Darshan, and he gives a reason. He gives a reason, a paraduma. Right? He says, what is it likened to? He says, likened to the son of the maidservant, the Shifcha, that he messes up the palace of the king. And so who comes and cleans up the mess? Who do you call to clean up the mess? You call the mother of the child. So to hear, the paraduma is a kapara for the chet ha'egel. Egel's a baby cow. The gay baby cow, you know, we messed up with the baby cow. So who comes to clean it up? The mother, the para, the mother of the egel. So mele, the paraduma is a kapara for the chet ha'egel. Nice time. So what's going on over here? First Rashi says, no, the goyim are going to ask you, what's the time? And you don't have anything to say. There's no answer. Okay, Hashem says, don't question it. It's a chok. And then, Gans fine Tom, we see later on from Moshe Hadarshan. So what is it? There is a Tom, not a Tom. So the Panim Yafo says a Gevaldik Bor. He says, yes, there is a Tom. We see the Tom, Moshe Hadarshan. The Tom of the Paraduma, fine. But what? He says, when the Goyim are asking us, and they say, as Rashi says, when they ask us, hey, well, what's this mitzvah zos? Right? They are not saying there is no time. They know there's a time. They know, and they know what the time is. They know it's because of the ego. But that's what they're doing. They want us to tell them that. In other words, they know that the time is because of the ego. So they're coming to us and say, that is paraduma thing. What matam yeshba? What's the reason? What is it? They want us to answer. Oh, you want to know? We'll tell you. It's because of the ego. We made this ego, and then and the guy said, oh, you made an ego. Oh, I hear. Oh, that was a terrible thing about it. Zara, after you just got the Torah, you made an ego. Oh, well. And that's going to cause kitrig and shemayim against us, and that's what the goyim want. That's what the satan wants. So there is a tom, and everybody knows it. But and that's why the goyim are asking us, what tom is it? So we'll say it, and then whoop, by doing so, we're going to awaken a kitrig and shemayim. So therefore, that's what the continuation of Rashi says. Therefore, Hashem tells us, don't answer them. Because that's what they want. They want you to tell the time of the ego. So just tell them, it's a chok. No. That's what you tell. Because if you're going to tell them, it might awaken a kitcher. With that, the Sharbas Rabim says, you can understand another thing. It says in the Lashon here, V'deber Hashem Moshe v'Aaron leimor. Right, Hashem spoke to Moshe to say, leimor. And then the next pasuk, Zot chukas HaTorah, Asher Ziva Hashem leimor. Why does it say leimor twice? So according to this, it's very good. The first leimor is what Hashem says to Moshe. This is what you got to tell the people. What do you got to tell them? Zos chukas HaTorah asher ziva Hashem leimor. That you got to tell the goyim, the satan, that it's a chok. Because they're going to ask you what's the reason. They're going to want you to tell the reason of the ego. But no, don't say that. Leimor, tell them it's just a chok. The Rabbi Chaim Alexander, he says a little different. He says, I always see in this Rashi, there is no, it's a chok. Later on, Rashi brings the tam. He says, it all depends who's asking. He says, when the goyim and the satan ask, what's the tam? So he says, chok. When it's Rabbi Moshe Darshan wants to know, so now, okay, Rabbi Moshe Darshan, so you to tell the reason. Tell who's asking. There's a famous Gemara, we're all familiar with in Kedushin, with Dama Ben Netina. the Chachamim were missing one of the stones for the Choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, and they heard that this Adama Mentina has the jewel. So they went to Ashkelon, where he was, knocked on the door, and they asked for the jewel. They're willing to pay for it, whatever. And he said, "Sorry, I can't give it to you because the key to where it's hidden is in under my father's pillow, and he's sleeping, and now I can't wake him up." Okay. No one, how much they tried, didn't help. Said, "No, I'm not going to wake up my father." Kibud Avayim. So Chazal tell us the Gemara that he was rewarded for his Kibud Avayim, this goy. And what was the reward? That the next year he had a paraduma in his farm, whatever. And the Chachamim came and they paid him a tremendous amount of money for this paraduma. So the Koska Rebbe asked, "Okay, I can hear, you know, Goy did a nice thing, didn't wake his father, deserves to be rewarded. But if Hashem wanted to give him a lot of money, why did he have to do it in such a way of giving him a paraduma? Why couldn't he just have had him win the lottery? Paraduma." So the Koska Rebbe says that it's the counter, again, a kitrik. Because after this Goy did such an unbelievable, you know, Kibud Avayim, you know, they're willing to pay a lot of money for this stone or whatever. He says, "No, I'm not going to wake up my father." Unbelievable. I mean, what yid would do such a thing? Not wake up his father, you know, for money like that. So it created a kitrig in Shemayim. So Hashem, to counter the kitrig, what did he do? He dafka made a paraduma in Damantima's Nitina's yard. So that the next year the Chachamim will come and pay a lot of money. What will that do? As if to say, fine, it's true, this goy was willing to, you know, forego a lot of money, but for what? For a mitzvah that's seicheldik. You can understand to honor one's parents. But a paraduma, which is a chok, says, the yidden, they're even better. They're even willing to give so much money for a chok. Okay, the goy did what he did, but that's just something seicheldik. And to counter that, look at the Jews. They're willing to give so much money for something which they can't understand, which for a chok. Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev, the Sanigur of Yisrael, one Yom Kippur called Nidre, he was the Shliach Tzibur. So he gets up to the Amud, and everybody's ready for him to start. And he's not starting. He's thinking, he's pondering something, and not starting. Suddenly he turns to the Kahal. He says, "Is there anybody here from this certain village?" And he named the name of the village. And one man says, "Yes, Rabbi, I'm from that village." So he says, "Ah." He says, "Do you know the Paritz? You know, the goy that owns the village there?" He says, "Do you know the Paritz?" He says, "Yeah, sure. You know, I live there. I know who he is." He says, "Tell me something. Does this Paritz have a dog?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, what does he feed his dog?" He says, "Oh, he feeds him unbelievable meat, top of the line meat, grade A meat." So Rav Levi Yitzchak turns to Shemayim and he says, "Did you hear?" And he starts Kol Nidre. So after Yom Kippur, his Talmidim came up and he says, "Okay, Rabbi, what's going on over here? This guy, there's this pari, it's a dog, meat. Yeah, what's going on?" He says, "I'll tell you." He says, "I was about to start Kol Nidre, and all of a sudden, I saw that in Shemayim there's a kitrig against the Yidden." What was the kitrig? That there was a Yid that had his daughter to marry off, and he was a poor man, and didn't have money, so he started, went around collecting from this person, that from the, you know, of the fellow Yidden. And what did he get? Almost nothing. This one gives a penny, you know, this one gives a penny. So he's going for money from city to city, city, and then he wasn't making any money. So as he's walking on the street one day, all of a sudden this big fancy carriage, you know, drawn by these fancy horses, stops. And it was this Paritz that we mentioned from this town. So he says, looks at him and says, "Hey, you know, you look tired. Do you want to ride?" So he says, "Oh, thank you very much." So he hops on the carriage and the Paritz is taking him. So they're schmoozing about this and that. And he asks him, what's he up to? So the Yid says, oh, I have to marry off my daughter. And says, I'm trying to raise some money. He goes, yeah, how much did you get? Did you raise a lot of money? He goes, ah, nothing. I'm really short, you know. So the priest says, no problem. Opens up his wallet and gives him hundreds of rubles right on the spot. Here, take it, gift. So he goes, wow, thank you so much, whatever. So Rav Levi Yitzchak said that there was a big kitrig in Shemaim in that. The fellow Yidden didn't give him money. It's this guy, he gives him all the money for his wedding. So there's a big kitrug in Shemaim. So I had to counter the kitrug, right? Combat it. So I had an idea. So I asked if anybody in the shul comes from that town, of that Paris. And the guy said, yeah. And then I asked if this Paris had a dog. He says, yeah. I said, what does he feed the dog? So he feeds him the top of the line meat. So I said to Shemaim, ah, do you hear? Meaning, ah, you think this guy's a big Rachman, his goy, oh, what a Rachmanis on his fellas, Jew. Nah, he still throws away his money. He feeds his dog that's expensive meat. So you see, he doesn't care about his money. He still throws away his stuff. So Mela, he gave the money. It's no big deal. That's in order to counter the kitra. I think it's sounds far-fetched, but once I heard a true maisa, that there was a butcher shop, and there was this wealthy guy. He used to come into the butcher shop, comes in and he tells the guy behind the counter, I'd like to order 2 pounds or whatever of filet mignon, which is very, very expensive, top-of-the-line meat, you know. And he says, fine. And he says, oh, but can you chop it up for me? So the guy behind the counter goes, why would you do that? It's expensive meat, steak. You know, you don't chop it up, make it into hamburgers, you know. He says, no, it's for my dog. So I'm like, what? He couldn't believe it. This guy's crazy. Like, he spends all his money, right? Chopped up this steak, you know, for his dog, you know. Anyways, he couldn't do it. He went and he took some garbage meat, chopped it up, and put it in a bag, gave it to the guy. The guy's not going to know the difference. It's all chopped up anyways, you know. So every time the guy came and bought the meat for his dog, he would just take the... So, sure enough, the boss one day was standing there, and he sees this guy, saying, can I have chopped filet mignon? He sees his worker go and take regular meat, chop it up, you know, and give it to him. And he starts screaming, what are you doing? This guy up there, he goes, I don't care, boss. Says, you can fire me. I'm not giving chopped filet mignon to this guy for his dog. I don't care. I don't care. Anyways, speaking of kitrugim, unbelievable maisa saw recently. The Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi was a rav in the town called Slutsk for about 10 years. This story dates back to Tafresh Lamedela, 1874, Minyanam. And I said he was the rav of this town. And one day, this very chashev gvir of the town was making a bar mitzvah for his son. So he was, Amaretz Kazet type, but he's very wealthy and influential. And he was making a fancy party, you know, for the bar mitzvah. And of course, he wanted to invite the Rav of the town, you know, the Marat Asra, you know, to come to set the head table, you know, the whole thing. So he goes to, not only doesn't just send him an invitation, he sends a whole, you know, carriage and horses, whatever, buggy to pick up the Beis Halevi from his house. So he comes, arrives at the Rav's house, and comes in, and he says, Rebbe, I'm cordially inviting you to my son's bar mitzvah. Here's the horse and buggy to take you there in honor, or whatever. So the Beis Halevi says, oh, very nice, thank you. So he says, tell me something, what's the drasha about? You know, your son, what is he darshaning about? So he goes, nothing. No drasha. He says, what? Why not? He says, Rebbe, that's old fashioned. He says, you don't do drushas anymore. So the Rav says, no drasha? He says, bar mitzvah with no drasha is a moshe of leitzi. He says, I'm not going. I'm not going to bar mitzvah with no drasha. Forget it. So the gevir is like, Rebbe, please. And he says, no, not going. No drasha, I'm not going. So it happened to be, there was another man there, also wanted to, you know, get a bracha for his son, was having bar mitzvah that night. Also, he happened to be there, poor, very poor man. And he says, so he, you know, his eyes lit up, he goes, ah, says, Rebbe, you're not going to his bar mitzvah, maybe you'll come to my son's bar mitzvah. Says, Drasha. He goes, of course, Rebbe, my son has all pilpul and that, 100%. So the Beis Halevi brought a big smile on his face. Says, really? A nice Drasha? Fine, get my coat and hat, I'm going to your bar mitzvah. So the rich man saw this. He goes, what, Rebbe? No, please, you can't do this. It's going to be embarrassing for me. You're definitely going to his bar mitzvah, not my bar mitzvah. Please, Rebbe, nothing. No drasha, I'm not going, forget it. And he wouldn't go. And he went to this poor man's bar mitzvah. Needless to say, the rich man was not too happy about that decision. And he wanted to take revenge against the Rav. And what did he do? So he got his friends together, the other gvirim, and he said, oh, you see what the Rav did to me, embarrassed me, and then I come to my mitzvah. Ah. He says, so he decided to linkom, nakama. What did he do? He sent out a message to everybody in the town that nobody is to rent their house out to the Rav to live in. And the house where he's living in at this time as well, right now he's living somewhere. So he went to the Balabais also and he said, you're to evict the Rav from the house, and if you don't, you're in big trouble. We're going to take away your parnasa from you, and etc. We're going to destroy you if you don't evict the Rav from his house. So he had to be kicked out where he's living, and nobody was allowed to rent him out of the house. So since these were very, rich and influential people, everybody was scared of them, whatever. And so can imagine how this Balabais felt when the Beis Halevi was renting from, So he told the Rav, Rav, I have 1,000 mechilas, what can I do? My hands are tied, I have to evict you, but I feel terrible. What am I supposed to do? So the Rav said, don't feel bad. He said, I understand, it's not your fault. Okay. So while this is going on, and he's being evicted from his house and the whole thing, the goy, this Paritz, who was the, who was in charge of the area over there, he heard of what was going on. And he looked up to the Rav very much, the Beis Halevi, respected him tremendously as a person. And he heard this and he felt bad. So he contacted the Beis Halevi and he says, listen, Rabbi, I heard what's going on. I want to give you a house. I have plenty. Giving you a house, 10-room house, free of charge. Free of charge, it's yours. Right? Please. So the Beis Halevi heard this, so it sounded tempting, but then he started thinking, he says, can you imagine the kitrig, the chilul Hashem here? Right? The yidden are kicking me out of my house, and this goy gives me a 10-room house for free. So there shouldn't be chas v'shalom a kitrig against a yidden. He had to refuse the offer. He left the town and never to return. Unbelievable. Okay. The famous Maisa, I'm sure you've all heard, explained the Chazal, says, Zosa Torah, Adam Ki Yamus Bohel, we have in this week's Sedra, Pasuk. And Chazal say, Ein HaTorah Miskayemes El B'misha Mei Misatzmo Alaha. That the Torah is only Miskayem, it's anyone who kills himself over it. If you kill yourself, how can you, what kind of get Torah is that if you're dead? So, different perishim. Chafetz Chaim like to say, following Mashal, there was once a Balabas, he had a store and worked very hard, and as he was getting older, he started getting some, white hairs in his beard, and so I think, I'm getting older, what am I taking with me to the next world? I don't learn, I don't. So he decided, that's it, starting next week, after davening, he's not going to go to the work as he usually always does, he's going to stay 2 hours and learn in the Beis Medrash and go on the work only later at 10 o'clock. So, sure enough, Dovins stays learning 2 hours. His wife, who, worked with him in the store, is wondering, where is her husband? It's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Finally, after 10, he wanders in. He says, where is he? Where have you been? You're 2 hours late, He says, I was busy, something came up. Okay, fine. So, next day, also, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, he wanders in. She goes, again, where were you? Again. Anyway, third day again, so she says, this is ridiculous, and there's tons of people in the store, she needed him. So she's looking all over, where is my husband? So she sees he's sitting there learning in the Beis Medrash. She says, I don't believe it. She calls him out. She says, "What are you doing? What are you? How can you? You're sitting here learning the way. Do you know the store is full of customers? How can you do this?" And I'm screaming. So he says to her, "Listen," he said, "let me ask you a question, dear." He said, "What would be if I died? Let's say I died this morning. Let's say I didn't wake up. Okay, now would you come up and start screaming at me? How can you die? How can you lie there in the kever when the store is full of customers?" Would you say that? No, why? So he said, so just think about it as if I'm dead between 8 and 10. 10 o'clock, Trias HaMesim, so what's so terrible? That's in a Torah Miskayim, as Misha Mamis, that's the moment. You have to pretend you're dead, nothing else important, and well, that's it, you're only learning, and that's it. Only then the Torah can be Miskayim. Says the Chet of Meimarivas that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock, different Perushim and the Rishonim, of course, but according to Rashi, told to speak to the rock, and instead Moshe Rabbeinu hit it. It's interesting. The pasuk says, "V'yarim Moshe es yado v'yachas hasela pamayim." He lifted up his hand and he hit the rock twice. So they ask, what's the significance in telling us that he hit the rock twice? He hit the rock. Once, twice, who cares how many times he hit it? He did something wrong, so to speak, and he hit it, and that's it. Why do you have to tell us that he hit it twice? Sanda Gan Rava, he says that, name of the Sharbas Rabim, the Midrash says, asks, "Lama nispas Aaron?" Now Aaron was also punished over here. Hashem says, "Yan lohemantem bi," because you, plural, you, Moshe and Aaron, didn't listen to me, and you cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, etc. So the Midrash asks, what did Aaron do? Moshe took the stick, he hit the rock. So what did Aaron do? Why should he be punished? So the Midrash says that we see that somebody who's a nitbal of the Avera, he's like a subsidiary to an overbearer, so also he gets affected. But the Zayis Ranan on the Midrash explains that the reason why Moshe was punished is because he didn't mocha. He didn't protest. So, you know, he should have protested. Because he didn't protest, that's why he was punished. Mele, he says, very nice. He says, what was he supposed to do? Right, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, was told to speak to the rock. So what did Aaron think Moshe was going to do? Speak to the rock. And all of a sudden, bam, he hits it. So what do you want from Aaron? I mean, he should have protested. Well, how can he protest? He didn't think Aaron, and then Moshe didn't say, "I'm going to go hit the rock right now." And he didn't say it. He just like, wham, all of a sudden he hit it. And so what do you want from Aaron? Mele, says the Torah, he lifted up his hand and hit the rock, pa'amayim. Why? What's significant of telling us twice? Because to explain how come Aaron was blamed and he didn't protest. If he would have hit it once, he wouldn't have been blamed. But since it was twice, after he saw Moshe Rabbeinu hit it the first time, then he should have protested. He says, "Wait, what are you doing? You're not supposed to do that." But he didn't say anything until Moshe hit it the second time. So to explain why Aaron was also punished, that's why it has to say Pamai. It's a nice vort, blend with this. That Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore told Moshe Aaron, "Lachein lo taviu es akal azeh el haaretz." He says, because you didn't do what I said, therefore you will not bring this kal, the Yidden, into Israel. And as we know, Moshe Aaron did not enter Eretz Israel. So it's a Peletic Rashi over here at face value. Rashi says, "Ilule ched zeh bilvad hayu nichnasim laaretz." Said, if it wasn't for only this sin, this was it. Only because of this sin, they didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. So you think, okay, fine. You know, what's the big deal? The big deal is, that's not the case, lichur. We see way back when, in Parsha Shmos, the end of Parsha Shmos, right at the end, when Moshe came, you know, to Egypt to bring out the people, and he said, "Let my people go." And what did Paro do? He says, "Oh yeah," and he made the work even harder for the Yidden. Had to search for the Tevin, etc. And what happened after that? Moshe then said to Hashem, "Lama hariyosa lama zeh shelachtani?" Says Hashem, "Why did you do this? why did you do this to me? What do you, is there, you know, why are you Harry Yoslam is that? Why are you causing them evil? Right? And Hashem said, got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, Kibiyachol, that he, you know, he questioned Hashem, what Hashem was doing over here. And therefore, what does the next pasuk say? Hashem said to him, Ata tire asher eseh lefaro. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. So Chazal Darshan, unlike Abraham, who when I told him to Sheikh Yitzchak, for example, he didn't question me, but you're questioning me, so therefore you're going to now see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh, but you're not going to see what's going to happen in the future when how the Yidden are going to conquer Eretz Yisrael and the seven nations over there. That you're not going to see. Meaning, he was punished for questioning Hashem that he was not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what's going on? Here Rashi says it was only because of the sin of hitting the rock, that's why he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Whereas that's not true, Lechor. We see that earlier on, because he questioned Hashem already back in Parsha Shmos, that's why he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Melua Omer says the following. So the answer is in last week's Seder. Parsha's Korach says that Pasuk states, Vayishma Moshe Vayipol Al Panav. Moshe heard and he fell on his face. Now, what did he hear? So Chazal tell us he heard that Korach, his men, or whatever, they were spreading rumors that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved with married women, Eshes Ish. It was Choshen, there were no Choshenim and Eshes Ish. As a result, he fell on his face. The Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel says, what does that mean? Because of the Busha. So embarrassed. How can they spread rumors like that about him? He was so embarrassed he fell on his face. From all familiar with the famous Chovas HaLevavos that says that when a person speaks Lashon Hara or embarrasses a person, whatever, does something bad to another person, what happens? So the Averas of that person that you're speaking about go on to back to you. You transfers, right? From the person you're speaking bad about, transfers over to the speaker. Mimelin, everything's good. Why? Originally, like Rashi said, because Moshe Rabbeinu questioned Hashem back in Shmos, Hashem said, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. 100%. So what happened? Till last week's Seder, Parshas Korach, that was the case. He wasn't going to go in because he questioned Hashem. But now that Korach spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu and said, oh, Eshesisha, so what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu's sin of questioning Hashem that disallowed him to go to Israel was taken away from him and transferred on to Korach and his men who spread this rumor about him. So Mela, Moshe Rabbeinu, was at that point last week said, and now clean of the sin from Parshas Mos, and now he could go into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, until this week's Sedra, when he hit the rock, and now says the, what do we see? Says Rashi, only because of this sin he was not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Only because of the sin. Because the sin that he had before was erased, was taken away from him when the Lashon Hara was spoken about him in last week's Seder. So maybe we should all be zoiche, since we're here now, we are zoiche to be here in Eretz Yisrael. That should zoiche to continue being here for a long time and see the Geula Shleima. Bimhira v'yameinu. Amen.